Thank you all so much for coming. We are once again honored and blessed to have in the house David McDonald, and I'm going to invite him to come and share with us the word of the Lord today and tonight. And thank you, brother.
Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's give God all the praise, all the honor. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We worship you. We give you glory and honor and praise. How many of you know that you were actually created to worship Him? And you're going to do that for eternity, for eternities, for eternities. So get used to it. Amen. Come on. Get used to worshiping the King. When we worship, anything happens. Anything can happen, and it probably will. You were created to worship Him. You were created to press in with God. It's not just four songs on the overhead projector. It's actually a lifestyle. Amen, come on. Say lifestyle. Worship is a lifestyle. We get to do for God what He cannot do for Himself. In worship, you get to do for God what He cannot do for Himself in worship. And when you do for God what He cannot do for Himself in worship, He then does for you what you can't do for yourself in worship. Amen? Come on. I had the most amazing picture during worship. I saw a bridge, and God says, I am busy pulling up the tension on the bridge. How many of you know that big bridges that cross bays? We live in Charleston. We have a massive bridge that crosses the Bay of Charleston. And every now and then they have to go and they have to make sure that the bridge is taut. It's tension that they've got these big mechanical things and they tie and they start. It's almost like they turn these big nuts, these big on these bridges, and they bring up the tension. And sometimes our bridge loses its tension. And I felt the Lord say that I'm going to start to pull up your tension, because some of your bridges have become a sway bridge instead of a bridge of great security. How many of you have ever walked over a sway bridge? It's like that land of oh no. And I really felt that tonight. That's, I don't know if that's a prophetic word to somebody, but God is about to pull up the tension so that you can become secure. The other picture I got was God was saying that in terms of what I'm teaching on, how many of you would build a house without building a foundation first? I wouldn't. I used to be in construction many, many years ago, sold window panes, and I would be on many different building sites, and I was amazed how deep some buildings would go to build a building of 80 feet or, you know, 80 stories high. They would go just as many stories down. I was like amazed. Like, why didn't they just do like an 8 foot, 10 foot, maybe 20 foot? And I really felt tonight God was saying, I'm going to fiddle with your foundation. Because some of you try to build great stuff, but you don't have a foundation. You've got great vision, but you don't have a foundation. You have great ministry, but you don't have a foundation. That stuff you learned 20 years ago ain't your foundation anymore. That's just become knowledge. You can't build on experience. You know, I used to think that, well, you can just build on experience. No, you've got to build on the Word of God. You've got to build on revelation. You've got to build on His presence. Amen? Come on. And God, I just feel we're in this divine time where God is building just amazing stuff like never before. Amen? Come on. So let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I thank You that You're building into our lives. God, that You're affirming, that You are bringing us into this place of amazing revelation like never before. God, tonight we put ourselves on the altar. We put ourselves, we put our flesh on the altar, and we say consume everything that You can consume in our life that needs to be consumed. God, I'm tired of carrying around extra flesh when I need to be carrying around extra revelation, more of the Spirit of God in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. So God is preparing the church. I just want to tell you, I just love your passion. And what you spoke about tonight really ministers to me, because Dee and my wife's Jewish, and we love the Jewishness of Jesus. Amen. Come on. But how many of you know that we are Christians? We are not Judaizers. We are not in the Judea faith. We are Christians that believe in a Jewish Jesus. Amen. Come on. And there's many offshoots of the Jewishness of Jesus that I like to embrace. Amen. Come on. And we miss out as Christians because we have a Greek mindset instead of a Hebrew mindset. And so let's just get into chapter 3. I don't want to be getting out on a rabbit trail tonight, but it's a blessing to be here. I'm excited about what I'm sensing in my spirit. God is raising up the church. God is putting things in order. Amen. Come on. And I want to tell you, if you will just position yourself in this lane of opportunity, God will give you the assignments you need to fulfill destiny. Amen. Come on. If you will just position yourself. So we're going to start with chapter 3 tonight, and I'm going to speak about embracing the process. Embracing the process. Now, I know that this is totally different to what I normally do in terms of just preaching a word, but tonight we're going to teach and we're going to instruct and we're going to bring some type of foundational stuff in your life. So if you've got paper, please take notes, because you're not going to remember everything I'm doing. Amen. So if you need paper, just put your hand up and I'm sure somebody will hand you a piece of paper, but you've got to take notes tonight. Are we taping all this? Is this going yes, this is all being recorded. And it's on Facebook. And so you've got to get this stuff and say, okay, how do we, in actual fact, you need to realize that it's copyrighted. So if you put it on Facebook, we need to talk about that, because it can't just go out everywhere. It's copyrighted. So, but you can get the recording. Amen? Is that okay? Because what happens is people will take this and then they write a book. So you have to protect it when it goes out on that platform. So, but that's good. I mean, if it's just an in-house, is it only for your church? No, it's copyrighted, so you can't do that. So, but if it's recorded up there and they've got a DVD or some type of thing you can get from their thumb drive, you can listen to it with no problem. Amen? Is that okay? Okay, so I wanted to start day one yesterday of our devotional really talking about the process to promotion because of this foundation. Listen to this foundation. Being able to access and embrace where you are today in your journey towards your prophetic destiny tomorrow. Let me say that again. We've got to lay this foundation. Being able to access and embrace where you are today in your journey. In other words, what my journey is actually producing for me today, and how I access that journey, and how I construct characteristics of the God, of the kingdom of heaven will help me for the future. If we bypass certain principles in the journey today, we're not going to have the strength for tomorrow. In other words, there are too many shooting stars in ministry. We start off strong, but because we don't have the foundation right, we start off with great passion, great vision, great expectation, but in the journey, because we've bypassed very important principles, we don't have the stamina that can take us into longevity. Am I speaking to somebody? Amen. Come on. Reading a book by David MacDonald or by Bill Johnson ain't going to help you. You've got to get the foundation sorted in your life so that when the opposition comes, you can actually access the doors of opposition. Listen to me. Opposition to me is not a resistance, it's an opportunity. Let me say that again. Doors of resistance to me are just opportunities. But I know how to access them because I've realized that a resistance or a blockade may be just the enemy not wanting you to go into that season. But if because you have the character and the stamina, you can press through. Amen. Come on. You can speak to anybody that's done basic training. When you're doing basic training in the military, you get to a place in your life that you actually break through the pain barrier. Amen. Come on. And you actually get used to running and vomiting at the same time. Been there, done that, burned 300 t-shirts. So there's something that happens when we understand how to access and embrace every opportunity in the today so we can touch the tomorrows. So being self-aware, now listen to this, being self-aware and self-centered are two different things. It's important that we know how we are affecting the world around us. In other words, we're self-aware. I'm very aware of how I'm affecting people around me. In other words, I'm very aware that I actually create an ecosystem. When I'm in a bad mood, I create an ecosystem. When I'm negative, I create an ecosystem. Amen? Come on. When I don't have the vision, when we are not in agreement, we actually create ecosystems. And when we create disagreements in other people's life. Amen. Can listen to me. I've been on Facebook long enough to realize if one dude gets on Facebook and says the virus is going to kill the world, it's amazing how other people will agree with him. He's created an ecosystem of doubt. Right now, there's a whole ecosystem of the lack of toilet paper. Because somebody ran into a shop in Australia and started to buy all the toilet paper. One dude. One guy ran into a shop and bought all the toilet paper, and it just became a wave of fear. And people are buying toilet paper. They interviewed one guy. Why are you buying all the toilet paper? I don't know. And then one dude got on today. He's selling rolls of toilet paper for $45. God bless him. That's what you call capitalism. But let me read this to you again. Being self-aware and self-centered are two different things. It's important that we know how we are affecting the world around us so that we proactively, on purpose, have a positive influence on our world. However, being self-centered is simply being arrogant. Because the Bible says in James 4:6, but he gives a greater grace to the humble. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God is opposed to the proud. Listen to me. I'm so tired of seeing pride in ministry. We've got to sit in the VIP seats. We've got to get this. We've got to have this. We've got to stay in a five-star hotel. We've got to do this. I'm just so over it. Just give me a log cabin with lots of food. And I'm happy. And heat. And toilet paper. Now, I don't mind when Dee and myself are traveling that we stay in nice places. But it's like, come on, guys, let's get out of this VIP thing. Jesus did not come as a VIP. Jesus came as a servant. Jesus came to serve. The way up in the kingdom, by the way, is down, not up. Amen. Come on. The devil stepped up and reached for power, and God says, and then he knocked him down. But Jesus stepped down and God raised him up. If you want to be great in the kingdom, you've got to be a servant of all. And one of the most powerful attributes of the prophetic is servanthood. Because when you read Revelation 19:10, people ask me all the time, what is the character of a prophet? Can I tell you what the characteristic is? Jesus. Where did you find that in the Bible? Glad you asked. Revelation 19:10. And that's not your birth date, by the way. Revelation 19:10 says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. And if you're not testifying Jesus through your prophetic ministry, something's wrong. If it's all about you trying to be right, you're going to be wrong because you're going to speak out of the wrong spirit. You're going to speak out of a spirit that you want to be seen, you want to be heard, you want to be famous. There's no such thing as famous prophets. Godly prophets, pure prophets, righteous prophets, consecrated prophets. Amen. Come on. I'm not here to try and showcase who I am. I'm here to showcase Jesus. And if we go and showcase Jesus, get off the platform. Amen. And so, God is opposed to the proud. And so, yeah, 15 signs of true humility. Just 15 things that if you could just learn five of these 15 things, it'll help you. 15 things. Number one, are you teachable? Are you teachable? Can you be taught by every person around you on your team? Can people speak into your life? Are you teachable? Number two, are you influenceable? Well, I don't allow anybody to. Well, I allow certain people to influence me. I'm influenced by Che. I'm influenced by certain men and certain women. I'm influenced by the Holy Spirit. I'm influenced by Jesus. God influences me. His word influences me. So I'm very influenceable. Amen. But I'm not gullible. Big difference. Amen. Come on. I'm not just going to take your bait, hook, line, and sinker just because you said something. I'm going to test it by the word, but I'm going to be open to what people are saying. Can you be corrected without defending yourself? Hello? That's a big one right there. If some of you men and women in your marriage would just adhere to that, there would be less divorces on the earth. Amen. Come on. Just, okay, I was wrong. Even though you were right, why don't you humble yourself and say, honey, you know what? You were right. You rejoice when others are celebrated. You rejoice. You know, tonight I was sitting there watching the people on the platform, watching you worship, watching Annie worship. And it was like, they are in the zone. I am envious. In other words, I was celebrating what I was seeing on the platform. Celebrating the fact that we were entering into this amazing time. No job is too small for you. Can you clean my car? Yes, sir. No problem. Can you clean the toilet? Can you? No job is too small for you. Amen. Come on. You don't have to be right. Can I just stay there for a second? You know, Dee and myself made a decision this year because over the last maybe 5 or 6 years, we've received invitations from very poor countries around the world. And every time those men would phone me from Spain, that's a very poor country now. Spain is poor. They are in a place of economic ruin because of the EU. Portugal is poor. The average salary in Portugal is 1,000 euros. People used to call me from Egypt. And I would say, no, I can't come because how am I going to pay my way? You can't give me anything. We're not going there anymore. And God spoke to Dee and myself on the first of the year and said, I want you to change your attitude and you've got to do what I've called you to do. And we've made a decision this year that we'll not be hindered by finances. And we have accepted invitations to Egypt, to Belgium, to Portugal, into Spain and the UK this year. And most of those churches won't be able to give us a dime. No job too small. Come on. And many times, and you know those men, that you can ask Dee, she's sitting right over there, you can go and ask her. Those pastors wept on the phone when I said I'm coming because they said, nobody in the American, no American preacher will come near our church because we can't give them anything. We're going to change that. We're not just going to the big churches, by the way. I'm going to go to every church. I'm going to Egypt in November. I'm going to 5 major cities where people have never heard the gospel preached. And yet they will come over 200 miles, 300 miles. We're going to bus them in. We're going to feed them. We're going to clothe them. We're going to accommodate them. It's going to cost us over $8,000 just to do that in Egypt. Why? Because I want every person to hear the gospel. And by the way, Egypt was never a Muslim country. So I just thought I'll throw that in. You don't always have to be right. You naturally seek the advice of others. In other words, if I'm going through stuff, instead of reading all the commentaries in my office, I find brothers like this and I say, what do you think? My brother, what is God telling you? What is God showing you? Can I pick your heart? Instead of thinking, I'll just read one of my commentaries. Hallelujah. No, you're going to have to get off your hobby horse and find some people. Maybe there's somebody sitting 2 feet from you tonight that can actually give you all the stuff you need. But because we're too proud, we'd rather go to a commentary that some dude wrote that's not even spirit-filled. You actually do pray. Okay. You freely admit your flaws, mistakes, and failures. That's become a big one to me. I've become so transparent in my life, I don't care anymore. But I'm not going to allow the devil to stick a handle on me in that area of my life and carry me around like a suitcase. I'm going to allow God to bring me into a place of total transparency. You live to help others succeed. That's my motto. You aren't entitled. You are patient. You don't promote yourself. Amen. Come on. You don't promote everything about yourself. You let other people have a better story than yours. You honor other people when they are talking. I've had to learn that. You can ask my wife. My shins are like blue. You know what that means? Every time I'm with Dee and I'm at a table and people are talking, I interrupt them. Bang! Oh! Amen? Or she just hits me like under the table. Bah! Ooh, So I've learned when you're speaking, don't interrupt people. Let them talk. Let them share their heart. Your story doesn't have to be told right there and then. You can just wait with your stuff. Your story is more important. I want to celebrate you further than me being celebrated. I want to celebrate you. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like we have this attitude. I have to be seen. I have to be heard. I have to be, you know, give me all the time. And I need, you know, when I go into the green rooms in some of these churches, it's like, man, who are you expecting? Listen, I just need ordinary coffee. Now, I love to be honored. Let's not get it wrong. I love honor. There's something about an honoring church. You know, when you come into a church and people honor you, I love that, but I don't live for that. Amen? Is that okay? And so we need to look at this stuff, because between the promise and the palace, there should always be a process that is natural and needed. Let me say that. Between the promise and the palace, what I would call the in-between season. What are you doing in the in-between seasons of your life when you're about to step out of the promise into the palace and there's a little bit of time? You've got to understand that there's something in your life that you have to make sure it's there. It is the process that prepares and develops us so that we can have the character that it takes and the skills that are necessary to be successful in this palace. Let me read that again. It is the process that prepares and develops us so that we can have the character that it takes and the skills that are necessary to be successful. I want to be successful. I don't want to be sloppy in this ministry. I don't want to just be sloppy and just go along and hit and miss. And instead of flying at 40,000 feet, we're bumping along at 600 feet. I want to make sure that we're actually doing what God wants us to do. The spiritual pressure of a governmental office in the body of Christ cannot be overemphasized. There's a pressure that comes. There's an expectation in the realm of the Spirit that we ignore many times, and we don't understand that the enemy will find a kink in your armor. And you, buddy, you better be sure that you've got your armor strong, because if you're just hanging around and you don't have anything in order, he's going to find. How many of you know that the devil's a legalist? He's going to find a kink, brother. He's called the accuser of the brethren. He's not called the comforter of the brethren. So his whole life revolves around finding the weak spots in your life. You've got to make sure that there's no weak spots. You can't afford watching garbage on television. You can't afford being in ministry and wanting to get on your computer and watch pornography, sir. You can't afford that. You can't afford even to, well, you know, I'm watching a movie and it's rated R, but I think it's so cool. You can't afford that. And then you can't understand why you can't sleep at night. And you have all these thoughts and all these things are going through your mind. Well, let me tell you why that's happening. Because you're opening your mind up to stuff that you shouldn't be watching. Come on, let's get over it now. Let's start to bind that thing once and for all. I mean, it's common sense. Listen, I don't have a big sign on my door in Charleston. Welcome all the thieves, murderers, and rapists. You're welcome here at night. Up close, lock that door. I make sure my 9mm is loaded next to my bed. You come in that door unannounced, I will kill you. Finished. Amen. You'll see Jesus really quick. But we allow the enemy to come into our homes. We allow all sorts of stuff. And then I see this mixture in people's ministries. A mixture. And then the church can't even discern what the mixture is. And people are prophesying over you with that defilement in their spirit. And guess what? Listen, if I baked a cake with a little bit of dog poo in it, would you be able to test it? Would you know it? You wouldn't know it. Why do we want to eat a cake with a little bit of dog poop in it? Or maybe, should I say, sheep manure? Why is it that in church we allow that stuff in? Because there's no one walking in discernment. We all want to get a word from the Lord. Hello? I want to make sure who's laying hands on me. Where have you had those hands? I'm telling you. That's why Paul says, don't just lay hands on people. Don't allow people lay hands on you. Make sure, hey, where are you from? Have you got a track record? Do you love Jesus? Are you living out of a purity? Is there a pure well that you're actually living out of? Which well are you living out of? Are you living out of your well or his well? Because how many of you know Jesus came and sat on the well? He closed up the well of Jacob and he became the well. And some of you are still trying to live out of the well of Jacob. And God says, that well's closed. That is an historical fleshly well. That thing should be closed in your life. Jesus is now the well of life. And if you're not ministering out of the well of life, where are you getting your stuff from? It's okay. So I've watched many inexperienced and unprepared people who are generally called to a fivefold office but commissioned prematurely, be literally destroyed by the very thing that they were destined to become. Many of them get disillusioned and leave the ministry forever simply because their leaders did not use wisdom in preparing these precious people for their God-given destiny. Amen, come on. I remember when I was in the military, and I want to just say this, I lost 22 people in my platoon. And the reason why, those boys were 17 years old, 18 years old. And because there was such a war, we were in a war in a place called Southwest Africa, now Namibia. We were fighting the Chinese, the Cubans, the Russians, the East Germans, everybody we could fight, we were fighting. And we had to turn out these young men so quickly. Instead of having 6 months worth of basic training, they were only training them for 3 months and sending them into battle. Those boys didn't have a clue. And we're doing the same thing in the church. We're getting people go to Bible school for 2 years, and then we want to bestow great mantles on them, and then we send them into the nations, and they don't have a clue. Hello? We need to go to start to come back and say, are these people ready? I'm telling you, my heart goes out to these young people that go to Bible schools, and I see them battling when they come out of these Bible schools. They come out of the bubble of where they are and they fall through the mat because in their minds they are trained to minister and yet they have zero character. They have no stamina. How many of you know that you need stamina? You need to be able to carry the anointing. Amen. Come on. You've got to carry stuff. And so the Apostle Paul emphasized this principle in this letter to Timothy with reference to leadership when he said, men should be first tested and then let them serve. He said that. I'll read it tonight. I'll read it out of Timothy. And later he wrote, do not lay hands upon anyone too hastily and therefore share responsibility in all their sins. Although Paul's subject to these passages is not the commissioning of prophets or apostles or so, but it's the principles that are applicable. Let's go and see in 1 Timothy 3:10. You guys okay? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 1 Timothy. Let's go to 1 Timothy. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Timothy, where art thou? Thank you, Lance. Somebody lost their shoe. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Everybody doing good? Thank you, Lord. Just remember, if you sneeze, sneeze into your shirt. 1 Timothy, and please go and wash your hands. Amen. Don't steal the toilet paper. 1 Timothy 3:10. Let's see what it says. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let me read from verse 8. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience, but let these also first be tested. Let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Amen. Come on. Well, Pastor David, I've got a prophetic ministry. I don't care. Come wash the toilets for a couple of weeks. Amen. I want to find out what you're really made of. Amen. Come on. Let's go and see what it says in 1 Timothy 5:22. 1 Timothy 5:22. And let me tell you, Jay and Lorelei took us on a little tour today. I could easily live here. When are you going to invite me? I'm telling you, we drove around. It's like, I could live here. I would live here in a heartbeat. You live in the most beautiful. I never saw it from that altitude. You see, God changed the whole thing. When we went from ground level to high up there in the mountains, like, whoa, this is beautiful. Amen? Come on, you guys are spoiled. Come on, you spoiled. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22. Let me read this. It says, yeah, let me read a couple of verses. It says, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. Amen. Come on. I'm not accountable for your sin. You are. But I'm not going to bring you into the ring unless you're really ready for the fight. And we bring people into the ring. Well, I've been in the way 40 years. Well, maybe you should get out of the way. No. Amen. I'm not interested in how long you've been saved. I'm interested in if you can serve. Can you serve the house? Amen. What I said last night, come to the prayer meeting. Pastor, I've been called to China. No, just come to the prayer meeting. I've been called to go to 20. Just come to the prayer meeting. Amen. Come on. Got very quiet there. Okay. We must realize that God's first language is not English, it's not Spanish, it's not French or any other human language. Amen? Come on. I'm so glad God does not speak French to me. He speaks in a little bit of a South African, Australian accent to me. He really does. It's like, hey, mate, how you going, buddy? Amen? Wouldn't it be nice if he always spoke to us in an audible voice? Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes it's just an impression. Life would be so much easier that way. Wouldn't it be awesome to wake up and get this whole recording download? And you just write it out. Well, today I know exactly what I'm going to be doing. God just gave me a grocery list. And he just told me, turn yard, go this, avoid that person, don't sneeze now, don't do this. And God gives us all this stuff. Amen, come on. But that we would miss out, listen to me, we would miss out on the greatest part of our time here on earth, building relationship with the one who loves us most. So God wants us to have a communication with him. He wants us to have a language with him. He's not just always going to give us his language. He wants a language that we can speak to him. Amen, come on. It's like, can you imagine being married the first day that you got married and there was no discussion? You went to live on the first floor and she went to live on the eighth floor. And you only saw each other in the elevator. Hello? Come on, it's like we're living like in two different worlds. We want God to speak to us. Well, God doesn't speak to me. Well, when last did you speak to him? When last did you have a little chat with your daddy? When last did you sit down and just speak to him? Not ask him for anything. Just tell him, I love you so much, Papa. I love you. I love you so. And have these conversations about how in love you are with him. How impressed you are. You know, I said something the other night. I don't know if I said it here. But I said, can you imagine if we were so intimate, intense with God that he just wouldn't leave us alone? It's like having a little kid. You know, I have a little granddaughter that lives in Australia. And she's like, you know, one's like 3 years old, one's like 17 months. It's like when I'm around her, I just can't keep my hands off her. Hello? I know that sounds weird. But I just want to put her little cheeks and kiss her and just love her and just hold her and cuddle her. And it's like my daughter-in-law has to be like, give her back. I'm like Papa Bear. That's my grandkid. Come on. And it's like we have no clue that he's so passionate about us, but we never ever speak to him. And so I think we need to get to this place. Think about it this way. If you're in a crowded room and your mom walked in, your mother walked in and started talking, it would be easy for you to recognize her voice even before you set eyes on her. Amen. Come on. You've heard it since you entered the world. And through relationship, you've learned what she sounds like. However, if I ask you to pick out a random stranger from the crowd solely based on their voice, you likely wouldn't be able to do that. We're going to put the lights off, and I want Jay to speak. Is that Jay? Well, I don't know. Amen. Come on. Maybe we could, because Jay's got like a very distinct, maybe it wasn't, that's a bad illustration. Maybe somebody just random. Amen. Come on. It would take time and relationship. Say time and relationship. Say it again. Time and relationship for you to learn what they sound like. God loves to draw us closer to himself so that we learn the way he speaks. I love the way he speaks because I've positioned myself so that when he starts to speak, I know exactly who it is that's speaking to me. Amen. Come on. The goal of hearing God's voice is not to have a party trick or to impress others with your gifting, but rather to know him and be known by him. I want to be known by God. I've said this for years. How many of you are interested by what you look like to heaven? What do you look like to heaven? I want you to write that down. What do I look like to heaven? When God looks at you, what is he seeing? Let me tell you what he's seeing. He's seeing a blood-bought, blood-washed, formidable foe to the enemy. Amen. Do you know that the devil, God could have put the devil on Jupiter, brother? How many of you know God could have put the devil on Mars? But where did he put him? On Earth. Why? So we can torment him. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I thought you'd get really excited about that. You've been put on this earth. You must understand that one Adam was multiplied after the first Adam. Jesus, God had to send the second Adam, Jesus. And how many of you know since Jesus, Adam's multiplied? Look around the room. A lot of Adams. Not atoms, Adams. You've been restored as Adam walked in the garden. You have the same authority, even actually more authority. So the devil on the earth was actually placed here so that you could actually dominate and control and torment him. How many of you believe that? Yeah, three of you. That's very good. Both hands, both. Let's get some boldness and some faith. Rise up in you. Say, yes, I believe that in Jesus' name. I believe that I am the part of the Adamic race that is here to destroy the works of the devil. I'm telling you, that devil, every day he said, send me to Jupiter. I need to get to Mars real quick. Amen? Are you guys okay? Once we grasp this revelation, we begin to realize that we actually see and hear God much more clearly than we thought. All we have to do is tune our receivers to his station. In other words, I want to hear the frequency of heaven, but I'm going to tune my receiver to heaven so I'm hearing what he's saying. For example, when you're driving in your car, there's music playing all around you, but if you listen very carefully, you wouldn't hear it if your music player is not turned on. Amen. Come on. When I'm in my vehicle, I don't switch my radio off, and especially when I'm in LA or when I'm driving into Charleston town and there's a lot of cars, I don't switch my radio off, turn my windows down and listen to everybody else's music. Hey, I like your music. Hey, can you turn that up? That's so awesome. I love to be stuck in traffic because I can listen to everybody else's music. You funny thing, you. You know, you turn your windows up, you turn your own radio on, and you listen to your own noise. We got our windows down, we listen to everybody else's stuff. That's not just speaking about cars, that's speaking about life. Well, I wonder what the hot gossip is, so I'll just go and hang around all the gossipers in church. No, just turn the windows up and turn your own radio up so you can hear what God's saying to you and you're not listening to everybody else's stuff. Amen? Come on. So, however, by simply turning on a radio, you would perceive that this was there all the time. The reason, of course, is that our human bodies were never designed to perceive radio waves. We need the equipment to be able to discern the music. So God's given you the Holy Spirit to help you to discern the sound that's coming from heaven. Because if you're not using the Holy Spirit as the transmitter, you're going to hear a noise. All you're going to hear is natural stuff, not spiritual stuff. I can't afford to hear natural sounds. I've got to start to hear supernatural frequencies from heaven. I'm tuning into what God is speaking. And what I've learned is God is speaking all the time. There's not like moments that God's quiet. It's like, okay, God speaks from 8 to 10, and then he speaks from 12 to 2. And if you're in that position, no, God is speaking all the time. All the time. I was prepared to sit here the whole night because I was waiting for something just to break loose tonight. I was happy just to sit there and get doused in oil. Because I just felt that's what God was doing. Amen. Come on. That lady sitting over there with the green shirt on, what's your name again? Denise. I just feel that from this moment on, God is going to give you a spiritual map. He's going to give you a brand new GPS system, because right now your GPS system is going, and it's like, God, do I go north? Do I go south? Do I go west? How do I do this? How do I do that? And God says, I'm bringing you into a place of supernatural like defining and acceleration and alignment. It says, I just felt the word alignment for you, because it's like your wheel alignment spiritually has been out. This person's taken from you. That person's taken from you. This person's taken from you. And God says, this is going to be the year of divine inheritances, finances, and just relationships being defined, so that there's no more chaos in terms of, God, where do I need to go? It's like, you know, when a lion runs into a herd of zebra, there's panic and there's chaos. And the enemy is trying to run into your camp continuously, trying to bring chaos and panic and fear, and everybody's running and everybody's doing this. There's this all this activity, but there's no results. And God says, I'm bringing you into a season of supernatural results in 2020. Amen. No more betrayal in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. God wants to speak stuff into your life. God wants to give you. Listen, I want to tell you this. Ever since I've been coming to this church, I can't wait for the day that I'm here, that you're actually going to get up one day and prophesy. It's like, I wonder if he's got an on button. If we can just find the on button and just switch it on and then break the key off in the on button and just say, okay, prophesy, oh man, prophesy. Because the Lord is bringing you into a season, and he says, I'm setting the stage for you to prophesy, not bansy-wansy stuff. You're going to be prophesying over the dry bones in your nation. Dry bones, men and women that should be in ministry, men and women that should be in governmental offices, men and women that should be doing great things in governmental arenas. God says, I want you to speak into the dry bones in their life. For the Lord says, even not only in this nation, but other nations, but it's time for you to start to understand the anointing you carry is not just for you and a few, it's not just for a holy dozen, it's for thousands and thousands and thousands that's in your mouth. And literally, look at me, when you speak that word, it's not going to be years and years, it's going to be moments and days, saith the Lord. There's some of you that are so prophetic. Amen. Come on. That young lady sitting over there at the end of the chair, what's your name? I just see you drawing, literally publishing comics about Jesus. And all the comics that you publish, everything in that book will be actually drawn by you. I hope she can draw. Do you like art? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay, just listen to me. God's speaking all the time. That lady sitting there, anything that I say, did I say anything tonight that you can actually say, okay, that was God? Okay. Anything that I said to you? That girl, does she draw? Oh, okay. Really? So when are you going to publish your own comic from Bridge of Hope? God is always speaking to you. God is always speaking to you. He's speaking, but you've got everybody else's music on. You're listening to everybody else's stuff. You haven't formed this principle or this discipline in your life to actually hear him speaking. The gift of prophecy is the equipment. Listen, the gift of prophecy is the equipment that we need to tap into the Spirit. The gift of prophecy is the equipment we need to tap into the spirit realm that exists all around us. Even though we often can't hear it with our natural ears or see it with our natural eyes, God's given you an ability by the Spirit to tune into it. Come on. People say, oh, there's angels all around. No, no, I want to start seeing them. Don't tell me there's glory in the house. I want to see the glory. Because I have. Dean and myself have seen angels. So when people say, oh, there's angels all around. Now, let me tell you something about angels. They love to manifest. They're not the secret seven. Or the famous five. They love to manifest themselves in meetings. And let me tell you, the angels I've seen, not one of them had wings. I never saw one with a halo, red hair, blue eyes, and wings. People that spoke to me were like very tall, 8 foot tall, very bright, and very bold. Hello, and very warlike. So we've had those experiences. In actual fact, in our bedroom, Dee and myself were sleeping, an 8 foot angel walked through the wall, stood in front of our bed, woke us up, and started to speak to us of how to touch a city. It's like, whoa. You don't speak for about 4 hours after that. It's like, and some of you are going to start experiencing that. Some of you are going to have encounters with angelic beings. They're going to come and tell you all sorts of strategy. We're in a season of strategy, people. That's why I felt so strong to complete this thing, because this is a whole manual about strategy and process. It's like God is recruiting us. If I could see myself in any type of uniform, I'm probably up here in a spiritual sergeant major uniform, like a regimental instructor trying to instruct the church how to come back into alignment in what they're supposed to be doing. Amen. We're off there doing our thing, jumping around the church. We have no clue what's going on. And in the meantime, God says, I've given you all authority. We've got to build a foundation right. Amen. Come on. And so I just love this. Let me read this again. The gift of prophecy is the equipment we need to tap into the spirit realm that exists all around us. Even though we can't hear it, with our natural ears or see it with our natural eye, we will be able to discern it with what God's given us. The gift of prophecy is like a radio receiver from heaven. It gives us the ability to hear what God has been speaking to us all along, but we are unable to perceive it before we receive this wonderful gift. As He touches us, with His new language, He created an opportunity to draw us closer to Himself and become more intimate with His people. If we don't recognize the different ways God communicates with us, we will miss His voice. And God is speaking to you. And getting to know God's voice is the key to deep intimacy with one who knows you best and for stepping into that active partnership with Him in your life. You've got to be intimate with God. You've got to have an intimate prayer life. You've got to have an intimate relationship with Jesus. You've got to get intimate. What does that mean? It means 5-minute prayers ain't going to be enough over your bowl of Rice Krispies. You're going to have to get in your room, turn the music up, and start to worship Him for to maybe 2 hours. I used to think, well, maybe I can just, you know, when I'm shaving, I can just speak to No, God says, that's not good enough. I want all of your time or none of your time. You do that with your wife. Not with my wife. Either she's going to get all my time or she doesn't want none of my time. Maybe you used it in your marriage, but I'm not used it in my marriage. She wants all of my time. I want to meet you in Alaska. Yes, ma'am. Because we've spent too many years apart. And if you've not been in that scenario, you don't know what I'm talking about. 7 months at a time. And I just said no, and she said no, and we said, we're going to make a decision that she's going to fly where I am so that we can be together, so we can share things together and create an atmosphere and an ecosystem of supernatural blessing. Amen? Okay, chapter 4. You guys okay? Can we go another chapter? How could God speak to you? How God speaks to prophets? And you know, they can say whatever they want about you. I'm even a little confused about you. Well, maybe he's this, and maybe he's the youth pastor, and maybe he's this, and maybe she's that, and maybe she can just, she's a filler in her. And no, when I look at you, it's like, wow, you guys can operate in the prophetic, in the apostolic, you can operate in the evangelistic, you can operate, you've been very pastoral, and you're still very pastoral, you're very evangelistic, you're a great teacher. So you can almost operate in all those things. And I've heard people say, well, don't you think that's a little arrogant? Why? Why would that be arrogant? If you're filled with the Holy Ghost and God needs to meet needs of people in moments where there's nobody else to meet the need, he's going to use you in the capacity that he wants you to operate in. So I operate evangelistically. I lead people to Jesus. I'm not very pastoral. Let's face that. I'm not. I love people, but I'm not going to change your diaper every so often. Do you understand what I'm saying? I've just realized I pastored for 13 years, probably 10 years too long. God taught me in those 13 years how to father people, how to bring sons and daughters up into a place of maturity. Okay, so how God speaks to us. Here are 8 ways that God commonly speaks to his children. But remember, he doesn't fit it in a box. So this is not the list of, this is not like the final word on his voice. Okay, I'm just giving you an overview of how God speaks. Number one, visions. How many of you have visions? You need to, how many of you never have a vision? Put your hand up. You need to ask God. Because Acts 2:17 is for all of us. Say Acts 2:17. What does it say in Acts 2:17? In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. How many of you are all flesh? All of us sitting in this room actually qualify for that. So God says, in the last days, I'm going to give you visions. I'm going to give you the prophetic. I'm going to give you words of wisdom. I'm going to download stuff in your life. You've got to start to have visions. Amen. Come on. Because dreams go nowhere without visions. Because vision is the currency that actually makes the dream a reality. So if you're not having visions, because visions actually give you more detail to the dream than just a dream. Vision will actually give you the information you need for the dream. Yeah. Amen? So visions. Say visions. Vision. Not wishes. Not a wish. Visions. I had a vision. No, you're either having a vision or you're having nothing. Right. Come on. Amen? Come on. There are too many people in church that have visions. I'm going to marry somebody else's wife. No, that's a vision. That's a slap right there. That's like killing stuff right there. That's like smack down. Amen? Come on. I wish I can go there. A vision of the mind in which the Lord projects, listen, the Lord projects an image and picture into the screen of your imagination. It often appears in hieroglyphics. It appears in pictures that require interpretation. As the Holy Spirit speaks to us and through us, these pictures and images of the mind, we must turn around and ask him what the pictures mean. Like tonight when I saw this bridge and I saw God tightening the tension rods on the bridge, I believe that word's for you. And for this church, that God in this season is going to start to bring this bridge into the purpose of why you called it Bridge of Hope. That people from every area in the valley, Anchorage, all around you will start to find this bridge. And it's not going to be a swing bridge or a sway bridge. It's going to be a firm footing into the purposes and into the hope of God. And every one of you sitting here tonight at the sound of my voice is responsible to lead people onto the bridge. That's what I saw. Number two, God's still small voice. At times the Lord speaks to us in a small, still voice. This is not a booming, audible voice. This can be heard as a passing thought, a sudden impression, or an internal sense of something that God is saying. I was in the airport in Michigan, in Detroit, and I was trying to get to my gate. And as I was walking along the corridor, I saw an old lady, like she was old, bent over, and she had a thing on her head, like a piece of, I don't know what it was, and I just perceived in my spirit that she was Russian. Didn't know her, so I kept on walking, and then as I came close to her, the Lord said, I want you to feed her It wasn't an audible voice. It was like this impression. It was like this sense of compassion. Do you understand what I was saying? And I just kept on walking, and then I got to like five steps past her, and the Lord said, "You have disobeyed me. You are about to disobey me." And so I turned around real quick, went back, and I said to her, "Good morning," and she started speaking Russian to me. And I said, "What would you like? Are you okay?" She said, "I'm so hungry." I said, "What would you like?" We were standing right next to a big stand of food. I said, "You can pick anything you want on the stand." And so she just went to town. She got the salad. She got this. She got that. She picked the water. She picked everything. I paid for it. She went on her way. I went on my way. Amen. Come on. And so Dee and myself have learned that in moments like that, when God prods us and says, "I want you to do this," we're not like, "Is that the devil? What if that's the devil? The devil. Oh, maybe that's me. No, you're not that good. And the devil ain't going to tell you to feed somebody. He's probably going to tell you to kidnap them or something. Amen. Come on, rob the stand. So we've got to start to understand that God's speaking to you all the time. What's your name? Kimberly. Wow. You know what the word Kimberly means? In South Africa, there's a Kimberley mine where they found the biggest diamond. And this is what I felt the Lord say tonight to you as I looked up. I felt the Lord say, "The things you've lacked in your life, I'm about to give back to you. Pressed down, shaken about, and running over. Because you have lacked things in your life. You've lacked courage. You've lacked this. You've all these things that you've lacked. And because of the lack on your life, it's almost like the enemy's wanted you to form an image on the inside of you, making you feel that you could never achieve. But God says the things you lacked in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to start to bring those things across your path. And I'm going to start to fill the voids of your life in such a way that you'll not only accomplish it, but you'll become such a mouthpiece for the purposes of God in your life. For other young women at your age and in your sphere of influence that will actually rise up and become great, great, great representatives of the kingdom. So the things you've lacked, God says, I'm going to start to give back to you." Yay, God. Woo! From the meadow of royal fortress. That's what your name means. From the meadow, from the birth canal of royal substance. And the devil's trying to tell you, "Well, you can't achieve nothing. You just live in the valley and you live in Alaska. No one care about you up there." And yet you're carrying destiny and purpose. Write down your dreams, because you've got so many. And many times, because we lack confidence, listen to me, I've known it, I've sat down with people, we lack confidence and then we abort the dream God wants us to actually deliver. Because someone else said, "You can't do it. You'll never be rich. You'll never be this. You'll never be successful. You'll never do this. You'll never have this." And so we start aborting those dreams and we start miscarrying dreams. And then we never fulfill anything. And all we become is pew warmers. And we just want to be a member. And God says, "I never want you to be a member. I want you to be an amazing warrior for my kingdom." There's so many unclaimed downloads. There's so many miscarried dreams because somebody said something. Amen. Come on. Okay. Angels. Say angels. Angels speak to us from a heavenly realm, from a spiritual realm, and from a natural realm. How many of you know that angels are not bound or they're not resistant to natural realm? How many of you know that Jesus, when he was in the wilderness and he was ambushed by the devil, guess what happened? At the end of the chapter, it says, "And God sent angels, and angels ministered to Jesus." Did they come in an atmosphere of vapor? Did they come like invisible? Or did they come in a natural form? I believe they came in a natural form. Every angel I've seen stood in a natural form in front of me. Although I couldn't see their feet, I could see their faces, I could see their breast, their bodies, their arms, but I couldn't see their feet. I could see their mouths, I could see their ears, I could see their eyes, but there was a difference about them. They shone with the brilliance of light. So angels, amen, come on. We don't worship angels. Because when you go to Revelation 19:10, it says that the man, John, went down on his face, and the person that he was speaking said, "Don't do that, as I am what? I'm a what? I am a servant like you. Get up. Amen. Is that 19:10? It says, there it is. See that you do not do that. It says, I fell at his feet to worship, but he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. That could be an angel. That could have been one of the servants of God. That could be one of the disciples. How many of you think that it was an angel? Okay, that's not like theology tonight. Okay. Creation. Say creation. God can speak to you through creation. That's why just living in this place, I would be like, whoa, every day. Creation itself is a voice from the Lord and speaks to us in many ways, especially by telling us about who God is. The mountains speak of his strength, the rivers of his provision, and the flowers of his beauty. Psalms 19:1-2. Another way creation speaks to us is by catching a lot of salmon in the summer. No, I'm just joking. Another way creation speaks to us is by God causing nature to do the things and that they act prophetic. How many of you know that nature can actually act prophetically? Nature can do things prophetically. One year, every time Bethel Church would meet in a prayer, a roadrunner would show up outside the glass door with a lizard in its mouth. Every time I went to Australia in this one church, every time I ministered in this church in Australia, kookaburra, how many of you have ever heard of a kookaburra, would fly in the window, and every time I went to Willie Dumas' church in Australia, a kookaburra would fly into the church, sit on the front row, and laugh. And one year, I was standing there ready to preach, and the kookaburra, I don't know if it was the same kookaburra, but a kookaburra flew in and laughed, and for 45 minutes, we couldn't stand, we couldn't, nothing. We were all on our faces, people were weeping, people were crying. They were just like God sent a bird to get our attention, and the bird taught us how to laugh. I'm serious. Amen? Come on. I was in a church in the northern part of Australia. And I started to preach. And the next thing, there was a plague of frogs that came through the front door of the church. I mean, a plague, not like one little frog. Boing, boing. It was like boing, boing. All these frogs started to come in. You know why? Because they were after the insects. I didn't know that. It's like, we're going to see an Egypt right here. And God spoke to me and said, and God started to reveal things to me prophetically about the frogs in the church. He said, they have allowed sin in the camp. Hello? Can you imagine dogs? I mean, I was at a church. There was probably 450 dogs just on the platform. It's like, where did all these dogs come from? Everybody in this village in Arnhem Land had dogs. They were the mangy-looking mongrels you've ever seen in your life. They were mongrel dogs. I mean, they were like weird-looking, almost like vampire-looking. They all came and got on the platform. It's like, I don't know why that happens. Amen. Recently, what's been happening is lights have been going out. Walk into a building, all the lights go out. Walk down the street at night, on my walk, all the lights in the street will go out. It's like, whoa, what's this? It's been happening recently and most often on a regular basis. Hello? I just think that's cool. God, show me stuff. Every time I fly into Brisbane, you can go onto our Facebook, you can read it. Every time I fly into Brisbane Airport in winter, in drought, it starts to rain. Every time. 7 years in a row. I don't think that's coincidence. No way. Amen, come on. So we need to understand that God will use creation. God will use all sorts of things if you just open your ears to it. Scripture, number 5. The Lord can speak to us in our daily reading. I pray in the name of Jesus that that is so relevant to you. He can also highlight a verse or a story that speaks to us about our circumstances. Sometimes it may even seem as if God is taking Scripture out of context. Hello, come on. God will never violate his word, but he'll often violate our understanding of his word. See, come on, we have to be wide awake. If God gives us a fresh insight or new understanding of a verse or portion of scripture, it is important that it fits within the rest of the context of the scripture. It also cannot be in disagreement with the foundation of God's revealed nature and character. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. I mean, let's just look at that while we're here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 16, 17. Let's pray for Pastor. I just feel we need to pray for you. Just put your hand out to Pastor Zach right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just pray, Lord, that the pain, the discomfort, and everything that he's feeling, he's sensing, he's tired. It's been a long day, God. All the pain, stuff that he's taking, God, that you would just minister to this man. Father God, I pray for supernatural, speedy healing in his mouth. God, he needs his mouth. God, he needs his mouth, that there would not be any unnecessary bleeding. God, in Jesus' name, I thank you, no infections, nothing in his mouth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16. Let's go down to 16. It says, all Scripture, say all Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Like these dudes that say, well, that people wrote the Bible. No, sorry, just take them to this Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Say thoroughly equipped. Impressions. How many of you sense impressions? Like you're walking into a bank or you're walking into a shop and you get an impression. Somebody walks up to you and you get this impression in your spirit. It's like, whoa, what was that? Amen, come on. And God gives you inside information about them. And God starts to speak to you about them. Amen, come on. I walked into a bank the other day, and I think I've shared it. Have I shared this, what happened to me in this bank? I walked into the bank, and I was standing in front of the teller, and the next thing I felt, just an amazing, like, compassion. And I almost started weeping, like a very emotional weeping came in, and I looked at the teller, and she was already weeping. So I just stepped up and I put my hand through the glass window and I said, are you okay? And she grabbed my hand and said, and just started bawling her eyes out and said, I don't know what it is, but when you stepped up to the window, I just felt a compassion, and she told me half her life story. Hello? You know what happened there? Jesus came in the bank. And I was at the right place at the right time. Amen? Come on. And listen, I just came there to cash a check. But in that moment, I became alert to what God wanted to do. Amen? Come on. I sat down next to a lady on the way from Canada, flying back to Charleston. And I sat next to her, and the Lord said to me, I want you to tell her how much I love her. It's like, okay. And by the time we landed, she was born again. She was so overwhelmed. She was weeping. She was a CEO of a large corporation. And all I did was, she said to me, what do you actually do? And the Lord said, that's the trigger. And I said, I'm a pastor. I fly here. I do this and that. And she just started to weep. And she said, I'm so overwhelmed. And I'm a Catholic. And I don't understand all that. And what is going on with me? And I said, your heart is open. Would you like to ask Jesus into your heart? It was very soft. It was gentle. I didn't say, you want to go to hell. I just shared the gospel with her. And she got born again. Amen. And every one of you in this room have the same ability. Amen. So impressions. Amen. Many prophetic people experience discernment, though, through impressions without even realizing it. Oftentimes we can sense an evil spirit or someone just by sitting down next to that person. The evil spirit that is troubling that person will begin to trouble us in the same manner. For instance, if a spirit of fear troubles a person in a close geographical area, and I believe this is what's happening, we can actually begin to feel fearful as well. There's a transfer of fear. I mean, you just watched the guys at Costco today in Hawaii. There was fist fights all over the Costco place. Amen. Come on. Fear over toilet paper. I mean, there's a lot of other ways you can clean yourself. That's why we collect. Time magazine. Amen. Just don't use the one with the president's face on the cover. Find some other faces, and I'm not going to tell you who. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Just edify the atmosphere. Circumstances. Are you guys okay? Okay, I just want to thought I'd break the ice. God can speak to us and direct us through circumstances. The dynamic occurs as God opens and closes doors of opportunity. It is easy to misunderstand this principle and think that any time we come up against an obstacle in our lives, that we are all out of the will of God. However, keep in mind that oftentimes when we are doing something for God, the enemy will oppose you. Even in times of opposition, we must remember that in Revelation 3:8 it says, I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have a little power and have kept my word and not denied my name. So there's going to be times that you're going to come up against circumstances. Come on, church. Circumstances will stop you from moving in and possessing land. You've got to discern, is this an open door? Who closed that door? And should I bust the door down? Amen, come on. Now, in our lives, if there's confusion, consistent confusion, we felt that a couple of weeks ago. Do you remember that? Then one morning we got up, it's like all hell broke loose. It's like the darkness was in our hotel room. It was like we were praying and interceding. It was like, it was the most... I can't even explain it. That day, my sister passed away. My daughter-in-law got sick. My son's car, the wheel was all busted up. Nobody could tell him how it happened. Her wheel got busted up. The children got sick. And my sister passed away all in one day. It was like there was an intense attack. And we just stood our ground and said, we're going to fight this thing by the Spirit. Dee and myself even got into a big fat domestic fight. I mean, not fist fight, but I mean, that could easily have happened. But we had this domestic dispute. It's like, what happened? We never fight. We never have that intense argument. Amen? Come on. It was intense. And it's like, what is going on? And we had to start to discern, hey, this is an attack. This is something coming directly to us. This is like an opposition. And once we alerted to what it was, man, we went into full mode. And you don't want to get into our space when we're in full mode. Amen. Come on. Hello. So you got to start to discern some stuff. Spiritual happenings. Spiritual happenings are another way God speaks to us. These are supernatural incidences that correlate with natural events. Some time ago, I entered a worship service and I noticed that my watch gained an hour. Dee and myself were traveling in Louisiana and we were driving along, and normally that trip from the I-10 where were we going? Alexandria? A couple of years ago, we were going to Alexandria. And remember, we were driving along and that trip usually takes 4 hours. You know what? Suddenly we lost an hour. And it's like, what happened there? Wow. Hello? And it's happened twice. I'm not kidding you, man. We've been on that road hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. And it's like, we know exactly how long it takes from A to B. And man, it's like, what happened? We didn't see that town. We can't even remember driving through this town. Hello? And so we're starting to understand that sometimes we struggle with stuff like that. Amen? Come on. Sometimes we struggle. Sometimes we struggle to hear the voice of God because there's a war to keep us spiritually deaf. In the parable of the sower, Mark 4:14 and 15, Jesus explained that often when God speaks to us, the enemy comes along and tries to convince us that we didn't hear God clearly. Or it wasn't God's voice at all. The key here is not to give up. Don't give up. Don't let the enemy steal your hope or get in the way of your pursuing more of God. But rather lean to discern what God is saying versus what the enemy is saying. And that whole situation, by the way, with the watch actually happened with Chris Valentin. Chris Valentin walked into the church and he looked at his watch and it was like, whoa, what happened to an hour? You see, some of us are so in tune to the natural realm that we're not open to the supernatural realm. I have a word for ex-governor. Do you call her ex-governor? No, governor. Governor. I have a word for Governor Palin, and I want to give it to her personally. God showed me some things this week. Amen? Come on. And as prophetic people, we're going to have to start speaking over our nation. the days of just personal prophecy is cool, but I'm telling you, there's going to be times that you're going to start speaking over things in your life, prophetic happenings. I really feel, even for that brother sitting over there with the green shirt on and your wife, and is that your family? Is that your son? I just feel you're coming into a season where God's going to start to, it's almost like the days that you've waited, the things that you waited for are going to start to manifest in your family and around your family. Promises, breakthroughs, things that you've been crying out to God for, opportunities. God says it's not going to be just a season of barrenness or a season of nothingness, of nothing. There's no activity. I see great supernatural activity starting to happen around you as you guys start to press in with God. Amen. Supernatural activity over your life. Amen. Come on. There's supernatural things, doors opening. God's going to start to bring things into alignment for you, Jay. I just saw that today. I was praying for you today. And God says, this man's part of a great genealogy of evangelists and missionaries. And it's like God's just going to switch that on in your spirit. And you both going to start to feel such a pull, such a drawing, not just to Africa, but to every place. Like we just have this compassion for this. And suddenly you're going to start to sense what your great-grandfather sensed. Amen? Come on. You have this amazing, and I don't want to embarrass you, but your IQ is right up there. It's amazing. You're a thinker. You're like a solutionist. And you have all this amazing capacity, and I just see God kickstarting stuff in your life. And from just focusing on how you can serve just a few people not that it's a restrictive trade or a restrictive discipline in the area of engineering, but I just see how God's going to start to open that up, and it's going to be different skills and different disciplines in this whole area of engineering. Amen. Come on. Even yourself, I just saw that God was going to start to put some maps on the table and some things on the table. And it's like God's going to get your attention again. And it's like from running just this one course, I just see these different courses opening up and like this compass becoming so real to both you and your wife. I'm telling you. Amen? Come on. You're like part of this genealogy of preachers. And God's going to start to bring that forth in your life. Amen? Come on. Amen. And you're going to show people that they have. I saw you hitting this rock, and the rock were people, like groups of people. And you're going to hit the rock, and water is going to come out of it. And you're going to start to show people that by just implementing faith, that what they filled with, you're going to beat some rocks. I'm telling you, and they're going to start to produce for you. Amen. Come on, speak to the mountain, speak to the rock, speak to the stuff, because that's where your authority is. Amen. Come on. You're very authoritative. It's like your eyes. You like when you look at people, you look right through them. And so God's going to sort of show you how to use that in Jesus' name. Amen? Come on. Some of you sitting here, it's like, God, I've been waiting all my life. God says, well, I'm going to change it all your life right now. In a New York second, I'm going to start to come on you, and I'm going to start to move through you in Jesus' name, and I'm going to start to stir things up. Amen? Come on. I just see it on your lives that there's going to be a stirring, and there's going to be like this thing in your life, and you're going to say, what is it? We don't understand it. And you're going to start to find out from your leadership, and suddenly God's going to start to give you words and language for what you feel. Amen? Come on. Amen? Yes. God wants to do stuff through you and on you and around you. You carry such a healing anointing in your hands. This guy sitting over here, you've got a healing anointing. You've got to start to use it, brother. Amen. What's your name? Paul and? You said Terry, she said what?
No, Paul and Karen.
Paul and Karen. I'm just pulling your leg, brother. So I just see this healing anointing. I just see this amazing ability on your lives to recognize the hurt in the hearts of people. And I saw you bringing them into a place of healing and restoration. Like your household will become like a hub for people to get healed. Amen? Come on. It's like it's on your life. Amen? Come on. Some of you have been waiting and sensing and saying, God, where do I fit? How do I fit into the purposes of God? Amen? Is that okay? Come on. Just go and do some navigation tonight and say, God, how deep? That lady sitting right there, I want to tell you something. That lady, what's your name? Yes, I'm pointing right at you. Yes, ma'am. Joy, I want to tell you, God says you have the heart of Nehemiah, you have a heart of Deborah, and you have the desire of David. What was David's one wife that was an intercessor? One of David's wife was an intercessor. Abigail. So you have like this heart of Abigail. There's like this humility to serve, but there's this heart to build. And I feel that God's bringing you into this place where you're not just going to think you've heard wrong. You're coming into the season of prophetic intercession like never before. That's the one thing I see. The other thing I see is this, it's almost like the kingly anointing to bring the spoils out of the kingdom of darkness back into the kingdom of light. So there's this business anointing on you that you need to investigate. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Switch microphones. That one's about to die.
Okay, I'm going to give it to you. Then it can die in your hands. Father, we just thank you. In Jesus' name, Father, we just thank you for these people. I just want you to hold your heart in your, just hold your, I almost said hold your heart in your hands, but just hold your heart. Say, Father God. No, say it like you really mean it. Say, Father God, I was created to be a prophetic instrument. In your hand, to speak into the nations, to dislodge truths, and raise people into their destiny. Thank you, Lord, that my foundation is in you. And this night, I decree that I will run in my lane and I'll know my assignment. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Can I just say this?
Tomorrow night, I want to pray for every single person. Every person. We did that when Prophet Chester was with us in Anchorage. I prayed for over 180 people. And so what we'll do tomorrow night, we'll have people line up and I want to lay hands on you. And I want to pray for every single person. Amen. Come on. Because I don't want you to leave this week and say, I never got a word, because that's not Daddy. God wants to encourage you. Amen. Come on. So I want to encourage you to come back to get a word.
Yeah.
People say, well, I want you to come back here. Let's hear together. Let's discern together. And I want you to leave here with something burning in your spirit for 2020. Is that okay?
Awesome. Well, I'm going to pray and dismiss. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Also, tomorrow morning, we have a men's prayer meeting here, 10 in the morning? 10 in the morning, Men of Hope. So David's going to be sharing there as well. So men, come and just come together and let's build each other up for the kingdom. Breakfast, 8:45 at Bobby's. It's right across the Glen Highway from here. So there's the invitation. Something else?
No.
All right. You know, tomorrow when you come and he's going to be sharing over you, one of the ways you're going to know that the word of the Lord is coming through this man of God is tonight I challenge you to say, Lord, speak to me tonight. Because what he'll do tomorrow is he'll confirm the word of the Lord spoken through this man tomorrow. So come tomorrow expecting to hear from your king, from your daddy father, and he will be faithful.
So good. Thank you, Lord.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for everything that you've done here tonight, Lord God. We seal it in Jesus' name. We pray for traveling mercies as we go home, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that tonight would be an amazing night of dreams, of vision, of you having encounters with us and us having encounters with you, Lord, tonight. I thank you for everything you're doing in this place in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Yeah.